Holy Space Coast, with the gospel of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, you are in tune to 1510 AM, WWBC, Cocoa, Merritt Island, Melbourne, Titusville, as well as W234BI, Cocoa, Rockledge, Merritt Island, Titusville, and the Beaches, on FM 94.7.
Is it okay for a Christian to smoke or go to clubs? How about dancing? Welcome to Through the Bible. Today we're in 1 Corinthians chapter 8, where Dr. J. Vernon McGee reveals to us the biblical principle for answering questions about what some people call these gray areas of the Christian life. I'm Steve Schwetz, and I'm so glad that you've joined us for another great study in God's Word today. Now, while you find your seat on the Bible bus, I got a few letters from our fellow passengers to share with you. First, we hear from a listener who joins us in his language of Arabic, and he says, I live in Egypt, and I've listened to your programs for more than a decade. I never get bored, and I'm always learning new things that draw me closer to the Lord. I pray that He will protect you and always bless your ministry. And we're praying that God would protect you as well, brother. Here's what a listener in Bali had to say to us. The Word of God is such a help to me. I listen every day to your Indonesian program. Recently, you talked about wisdom from the book of Proverbs. I have learned that wisdom is more important than wealth. As a Christian, it is important that I am not foolish. I now strive to live as God's child. I am blessed by your teaching that always reminds me to bear spiritual fruit in my life. And then here's another letter. This is from a listener named Vivian from Miami. I live in the United States and I am bilingual. I started listening to the program in English at first. However, when I realized that you also teach it in Spanish, my mother tongue, I switched to Spanish because I feel more comfortable. I love to listen with your app on my phone. I feel God's Word is always available to me. I pray your programs will multiply and more people will come to Jesus Christ as they learn about Him through you. And finally, we hear from a listener named Lewis. This program has been a blessing to my life. I live in Canada, but I'm originally from Cuba. Glory to the Almighty for your teaching that is helping me in my call to ministry. I share your programs with many I know in Cuba and Canada. I see much fruit as people begin to understand God's Word. They are often surprised that what once seemed so complicated becomes easily understandable. May the Lord continue to bless you richly. Well, if you'd like to join us in praying that God's Word will reach listeners in Spanish, English, Indonesian, Arabic, and more than the 200 other languages that Through the Bible can be heard in, then you need to join our world prayer team at ttb.org/pray. And personally, it's been such a privilege and pleasure to join alongside thousands of other Bible bus passengers as we get to ask God that He would take His whole Word to the whole world. So I certainly hope that you'll sign up today. Again, it's ttb.org/pray. And let's do that now. Heavenly Father, thank You for Your Word that tells us how we can live a life that pleases You. Please clear up any misconceptions that we might have, and then help us to be more like Jesus. In His name we pray. Amen. Now here's our study in 1 Corinthians 8 on Through the Bible with Dr. J. Vernon McGee.
Now, friends, we've come to the 8th chapter of 1 Corinthians, and deals actually with meat, whether we should eat meat or not, and the liberty that a child of God should have in this particular area. And this, I trust, will be very helpful as we look at what Paul has to say here, and also that we recognize that in this first section, Paul is writing to the Corinthians, and he calls them carnal, babes in Christ, and these things are carnalities that he's talking about. But here's where the church lives and moves and has its being today, and these are pertinent questions today because, well, it's a carnal church that we're in, and these become the important things rather than spiritualities. But we want to deal with them. Paul dealt with them. Now, this subject, I think, is just as controversial as the one that has to do with marriage and divorce. You see, diet is a fad with many people. And it's interesting that it's generally an essential part of the ritual of most cults and isms today. You find most of them dealing with diet. And a very interesting thing is that God gave to Israel certain restrictions about eating meat. The outward test of the animal was that part a hoof and chew the cud. That eliminated the pig, of course. He parts the hoof but doesn't chew the cud. And there's certain fowl that were designated by name as unfit for food. And you find over in the 14th chapter of Deuteronomy, it's also in Leviticus, where we find this list given. And you will find in verse 12, "But these are they of which ye shall not eat, the eagle, the ossifrage, and the osprey." A friend of mine who doesn't believe that you should eat meat, he belongs to a cult that practices that, and he was discussing that with me, and I asked him one day, I said, "Have you ever eaten an ossifrage?" He says, "A what?" "Well," I says, "an ossifrage." He said, "Don't even know what it is." Well, I said, "You better find out what it is, because you may come over to my house someday and I may serve you roast ossifrage. And if you eat it, you'll be just as wrong as you eat pork." Well, you know, he didn't know what an ossifrage was. He knew what a pig was, and he wouldn't touch pork. But he may have eaten an ossifrage. I hope not, because it doesn't look to me like an ossifrage, and an osprey would be very good to eat even. But the Lord put them outside the bounds of what his people could eat. Now, why did God give that to them? Well, he makes it clear. He says here, "Ye are the children of the Lord your God. Ye shall not cut yourselves, nor make any baldness between your eyes for the dead. For thou art a holy people unto the Lord thy God, and the Lord hath chosen thee to be a peculiar people unto himself above all nations that are upon the earth. Thou shalt not eat any abominable thing." And therefore God prescribed their diet for them. And diet is important. There's a difference between pork and lamb. And even doctors today prescribe diet. Certain meats are out, others are included. Now, will you notice some things here that we should, I think, say as a preliminary consideration? First of all, let me say, as we get in this 8th chapter, that doubtful and questionable practices is the area we're in. Now, the Bible grants a permission for certain practices. There are certain things, though, that are positively all right. That's okay to eat that. You're given a green light. He never said prayer was wrong or singing was wrong, except when I try to sing. My wife thinks it's wrong for me to even try. But apparently you make melody in your heart. Teaching the Word of God, I never felt under any conviction is wrong. And working with my hands, I never thought that was wrong. Now, the Bible forbids certain practices. The red light's put up there. There's no argument or question or doubt. God condemns drunkenness. No use trying to defend it, friends. There are those that want to argue today about whether you can drink wine as a Christian and that type of thing. All I can say to you, drunkenness is condemned. And you can't get drunk unless you drink alcohol, that's for sure. And the works of the flesh are manifest, Paul says. Uncleanness, fornication, these things are wrong. In fact, drugs is listed there. Now, the Bible is silent on certain practices. There's a between area, a gray area, and it's neither black or white. Certain questionable practices, doubtful things. It's one we don't know too much about. Let me just mention something, and I'll let you argue it. I'm not. Should a woman use makeup? What about the miniskirt? We probably could have taken that up in the last chapter, by the way. Is it possible to be a Christian and smoke? I'm not answering that. All I'm trying to say is that these do come in the area of questionable things. Now, in my Southland, many of the churches say that mixed bathing is wrong. But smoking is all right. Out here on the West Coast, they think mixed bathing is all right. And believe me, it's mixed out here. But smoking is verboten. You just better not, or you put out a certain circle. Now, you see, these are rules that have been put down by Christians. They may be good or may be bad. I'm not even going to argue that today, because I want you to see a great principle here. And then there's another preliminary consideration, and I want to develop this because this is important. If you miss seeing the background of this, you're going to miss the whole point. And it's simply this. The best place to eat in Corinth was not at Howard Johnson's or Holiday Inn or McDonald's, hamburger places, or at some of these others. The best place to get meat was in the temple area or a meat shop that was run by the temple. Now, you find in the city of Corinth, and that's the background, that people brought sacrifices of animals to offer. And they always brought the best, you see. But when that meat was offered to the idol, it didn't stay there long because they figured that the spirit of the idol ate the spirit of the meat, so the meal is over. And so they just took the meat, took it to the marketplace, and in the shambles, it was offered. The stalls were there where meat was sold. Now, if you wanted to get the best fillets and the best porterhouse steaks and the best prime rib roast in Corinth, you had to go to one of those meat shops. And that meat had been offered to idols. And the Corinthians wrote Paul that there were some there that were offended. They would be invited out for dinner to another Christian family, and they would be serving them a lovely filet mignon. And during the course of the conversation, said, "My, this is wonderful meat that you have. Where'd you get it?" And then they'd say, "Got it up at the temple butcher shop or the temple market." And they were offended by it. Oh, they wouldn't eat anything that was offered to idols. Now, Paul is going to discuss this question here. Should you eat things offered to idols like that? And that was the problem in Corinth, because some of them, with that background, who'd come out of idolatry, they were offended by that sort of things. Others, well, it made no difference. Now, will you listen to Paul here as he discusses this problem in the city of Corinth? "Now, as touching things offered unto idols, we know that we all have knowledge. Knowledge puffeth up, but love edifieth." Now, the whole point was this. Knowledge here blows up. That is, sort of like a balloon, or like you pump up an automobile tire. But love doesn't blow up, it builds up. And love for God, then love for others. And love should be that which should judge our conduct, and not always knowledge. Knowledge puffs us up. And that is the grave danger today. A great many folk feel like that they know something, but they don't know all. And Paul makes that clear in verse 2 of chapter 8 of 1 Corinthians. He says, "And if any man think that he knoweth anything, he knoweth nothing yet as he ought to know." I had a man in a conference. In fact, we had had a marvelous service in where about 6 young men had accepted the Lord. And he came up and he wanted me to break away from everybody and discuss with him the subject of election, because he felt like it had come up in the sermon. It had not, but he thought it had, and he wanted to discuss the subject of election. Now, I took a few moments to talk with him until I discovered he didn't want to discuss it. He wanted to tell me what he thought about election. Well, I listened to him, and I could discover that he had been reading on that subject recently, and that he knew a few things, but he didn't know everything. And because he knew a few things, he thought he knew everything. And as I listened to him, I could picture this young preacher. That is, I'm not young now, but when I was young, I could picture this young preacher who went into a theology professor and wanted to tell him what he thought about election. And I thought I was telling the professor something. Well, I don't care what stage of spiritual development you're in today. You don't know everything about any subject, and I don't either. We today are in the process. Paul could say that I might know him and the power of his resurrection, fellowship of his suffering. Paul says on this basis now, we have a certain knowledge, and because we have that certain knowledge, why, we may be governed by it, but we ought to be governed by love and not by knowledge. Now, listen to him. As concerning, therefore, the eating of those things that are offered in sacrifice unto idols, we know that an idol is nothing in the world and that there is none other God but one. Paul says, now those of us that have knowledge, we all have knowledge, now that we've come to Christ and we have the Word of God, we know today that an idol is nothing. And that's the way Paul spoke of idols. They're nothings. They're nothing. There isn't but one God. And so when you took that meat and offered it before an idol, that's nothing. Nothing happened to the meat. It's not affected. It's not contaminated at all. In fact, that's where you get the best meat, is that which had been offered there. But it's nothing. And therefore, the instructed Christian, he could go and eat. No problem. He went there and bought his meat. Now, will you notice, he goes on to say here, for though there be that are called gods, whether in heaven or in earth, as there be godsmen and lordsmen, a lot of idols about, but to us there is but one God, the Father of whom are all things, and we in him, and one Lord Jesus Christ, by whom are all things, and we by him. Now, these things are just merely called God. Now, yonder in the city of Corinth was the temple to Apollo. I've stood in the ruins of that temple, and not long ago, and as I stood there, I thought of this passage of Scripture. There had been stuff brought in, offered to Apollo. There's a big image, an idol of Apollo there, and that's nothing. Whether the meat was brought in from the slaughterhouse and put in the meat shop, or whether it was brought by this idol and put there for a little while, it wouldn't make any difference. An idol is nothing. An instructed Christian knows that. It just merely called God. Now listen to Paul now. But to us, there is but one God. To us today, and this is the affirmation now of Paul. Now, verse 7, howbeit, there is not in every man that knowledge. You see, the fellow today that calls himself the spiritual Christian and the separated Christian is really the fellow that doesn't have the knowledge. Oh, he says, you can't do that. May I say to you, well, what do you mean I can't do that? Well, he doesn't think you can. And there were those in Corinth that were offended by these people who invited them to dinner and then offered them meat that was sacrificed to idols. Well, they knew that. Idol is nothing, but these others, they're separated. They say, ooh, we wouldn't touch it. But their separation is not due to spirituality, it's due to ignorance. Paul says here, howbeit, there is not in every man that knowledge. For some with conscience of the idol unto this hour eat it as a thing offered unto an idol, and their conscience being weak is defiled. They are the weak ones. They are actually the carnal Christian. But they just are offended by that sort of thing, and they criticize. Or they'd gossip about you if you do that thing, you see. Now, Paul puts down here a great principle, and here it is. But meat commendeth us not to God, for neither if we eat are we the better, neither if we eat not are we the worse. Now, meat hasn't anything to do with it. You remember Simon Peter was in that group. He'd been brought up certain things unclean. And when that sheet let down to heaven, and the Lord says to him, rise, slay and eat. Simon Peter says, not so, Lord. Calling him Lord and at the same time not obeying him. He says, I've never eaten anything unclean. The Lord says, don't you call anything unclean that I've called clean. No longer do I even make that distinction between clean and unclean animals. You can eat any animal you want to if you want to eat it. Down in San Antonio, Texas, I'm totally can rattlesnake. Now, if you're going to have rattlesnake for dinner, don't invite me over. Because really and truly, it's not that it has anything to do with religion. But it sure does have a lot to do with a weak stomach. I just don't think I could go that at all. It's a great principle. Whether you eat meat, whether you're not. Meat won't command you to God. You can do as you please in this connection. This is the liberty that a Christian has. Now, notice verse 9 here. But take heed, lest by any means this liberty of yours become a stumbling block to them that are weak. Now, it's not a question now of meat after all, is it? It's a concern for others. You have the liberty to eat it. But what about your concern for others? You have the knowledge, but what about the love? It may have an effect on a weak brother. Listen to this. For if any man see thee, which has knowledge, sit at meat in the idol's temple, shall not the conscience of him which is weak be emboldened to eat those things which are offered to idols? I suppose that one of the reasons that those of us in Christian service shouldn't do certain things, I'm confident I can go to many places today I don't go to. I really don't have much of a desire to go to them. There was a time when I loved to dance. But the minute that I started studying for the ministry in college, actually the president of the ministerial student was president of the student body, and he led in the dances. And he tried to get me because he knew I'd been active in an organization before I accepted Christ where I was chairman of a dance committee. Well, I told him, no, I couldn't do it. Now, is it wrong? I'm not going to argue that point with you at all, my friend, because it's not a question of knowledge. I think there are a lot of things I could do. I don't do them. Why? Well, it's on the other basis. I don't want to hurt my weak brother here. Next thing you know, he may be out there, you know, dancing the fandango or whatever they dance today. And I'm not going to be responsible for him at all, because he's a weak brother, you see. Now he says, and through thy knowledge, verse 11 now, through thy knowledge shall the weak brother perish for whom Christ died. Now you see, we're on a different principle today. It's not a question whether it's right or wrong. It's a question about the effect on that weak brother, on that other fellow there, your neighbor. Now, you see, knowledge, after all, is a pretty dangerous thing. It's the way you use it. Now, what's the motivation? Verse 12, but when ye sin so against the brethren and wound their weak conscience, ye sin against Christ. You're affecting him. And knowledge becomes a very dangerous thing. Now listen to it, the last verse here. Wherefore, if meat make my brother to offend, I'll eat no flesh while the world standeth, lest I make my brother to offend. Now, he's going to be back at this over in the 10th chapter and 23rd verse. All things are lawful for me. All things are not expedient. All things are lawful for me, but all things edify not. Now, don't tell me today that it's wrong for me to do certain things. You tell me whether I'm going to hurt my weak brother or not. That is the motivation for our Christian conduct. The motivation is love. You sin against Christ when we sin against a weak brother. This is not radical. You know, we can change this, and it's not an unwarranted use. If clothes make my brother to be offended, well, I'm going to wear no clothes, no, but I'm going to be very careful about the kind of clothes I'm going to do that. Should a Christian eat where liquor is sold? Should a Christian go to a show or to a dance? Well, the question is not right or wrong, not a question of knowledge. It's a question now, my friend, about your effect upon your weak brother. And that's the thing that is all important. All things are lawful for me. The liberty of the Christian. He's not pinned down by legality. He's not circumscribed by strict rules of conduct. The liberty is limited by love. That's the important thing. And if I invite somebody for dinner, I don't want to serve something that's going to offend him, you see. I want to serve something that will be a blessing to him. That's the way that Christian conduct. Is it right to eat meat? Sure. Eat all you want, friend. Anything you want, you can eat. But what about your brother, your weak brother? What about that neighbor of yours? These are things that are important. Now we're going to come to the next chapter and pursue this great theme, Christian liberty. So until next time, may the Lord richly bless you, my beloved.
A
great resource to help you review this study and go deeper is our new Bible companion for 1 Corinthians. I think you're really going to like it. You can look for it in the resources section of ttb.org under free booklets. And as always, if you need some help locating it or if you need any other resource by Dr. McGee, call us at 1-800-65-BIBLE or reach us by mail at Box 7100, Pasadena, California, 91109. In Canada, Box 25325, London, Ontario, N6C, 6B1. Christian freedoms have the potential to hurt fellow believers. So next time, we'll hear Dr. McGee consider what limitations we should set for the sake of others. I'm Steve Schwetz, and I'll save a seat on the Bible bus just for you.
Jesus made it home, unto him I own. Sin had left a crimson stain, he washed it white as snow.
We're grateful for the faithful and generous support of Through the Bible's partners, whom God uses to take the whole word to the whole world.
Feels good.
Folks so caught up in self with their nose up looking down on everybody else. But as for me, I gotta swallow my pride. When I think about my life, tears flow from my eyes. I can't forget back in Detroit City with my demo tape, trying to get folks to hear me, trying to bring a new sound to this gospel game. Had people hating on me in Jesus' name. And I could've gave up a long time ago if I did, you wouldn't hear me on this radio. Couldn't come to your city and rock the show. I just want the world to know.
Here we go. You gotta sit back and count your blessings. You gotta name them one by one.
You gotta count your blessings.
You can't take the credit for anything that God has done.
You know you don't know how you made it.
Praise to the Most High. It's because of him that you can touch the sky. It's the little things we should never forget. While you're driving Bentleys and flying in jets. Who woke you up this morning, started you on your way, keeping your heart pumping each and every day? Who gave you power to do big things? I think we ought to stop and give praise to the King. It's okay, no, won't your pockets fatter, but we gotta focus on what really matters. Like love, life and family. Want the world to sing with me.
Gotta
sit back and count your blessings.
Listening to WWBC Cocoa, Merritt Island, 1510 AM, as well as W234BI Cocoa, Rockledge, 94.7 FM, W264AS, Rockledge, Melbourne, Palm Bay, Indian Atlantic, Indian Harbor, Satellite Beach, 100.7 FM, and W260CL, Coco, 99.9 FM.
Well, greetings in the name of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, who's worthy of all honor and praise. I am Minister Gloria Ross, and I thank you for tuning in to the broadcast of New Life Assembly of God. We are located at 774 North Apollo Boulevard in Melbourne, Florida. Our telephone number where you can reach us is 321-255-6999. Our service time starts at 11 o'clock a.m. every Sunday. Now stay tuned to the broadcast.
Well, we praise the Lord. Glory to God. We thank Minister Gloria for being so faithful in the Word of God. And we thank all of you out there in Radio Land that have tuned in to the broadcast. I want to pray for you because these are trying times. Everything seems to be coming to a close. But we know that we that are in the Lord Jesus Christ and glorifying Him, we have divine protection. And one day He will come to take us home. Father, in the name of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, I pray for my radio listeners out there, faith partners, and all those that have tuned into the broadcast. I ask your blessings to be upon them, that you would touch those that are sick, that need deliverance, and whatever the problems may be in their lives. Lord, we know that you are able to do all things exceedingly and abundantly above all as we could ask or think, according to the power that worketh within us. Your Holy Spirit is on the inside of us, Lord, and we pray right now for them. Touch them by your Spirit in Jesus' mighty name. Amen and amen. Well, once again, we thank the Lord for this glorious opportunity. The Lord Jesus Christ, He is soon to come, praise the Lord. And we are getting ourselves prepared to meet our Master, Lord and Savior, praise God. And I tell you that there's nothing that you or I can change because everything has been set in order. Divine purpose has taken place. And I pray today that you all out there in Radio Land will listen to this broadcast and take heed because the Word, and that's the subject we want to speak on today, the Word of God. Praise the Lord. The Word which is powerful. The Word which is sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to dividing asunder of soul and spirit and joints and marrow, and is a discerner of the thoughts and intents of our heart. Let's look at what the Word of God says. In St. John 1, praise the Lord, the Word of God says to us, in the beginning, Minister Gloria, you want to read?
In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God.
Now that is powerful. In the beginning. Now, a lot of people question, well, when is the beginning? Well, the beginning is when the beginning starts. God has no beginning and no end. But I just want to say out there in Radio Land that He is, praise God, who He says that He is. And He is the one that has sent His Son, Jesus, who is the Word of God. The Scripture tells us that in the beginning was the Word. That's the Logos, praise God. Isn't that wonderful? The Word. And the Word was with God. And the Word is God. That's why when we read the Bible, we're reading and listening and hearing the voice of God. Because I tell you today that when we pray, we are talking to God. And when we read the Word, it's God speaking to us. We need to hold on to those truths. Because I tell you, John is saying, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. Praise God. I tell you, we are talking about the God of creation, the one that created all things. Praise God. Minister Glory, created all things.
Amen.
Praise God. You want to read that second verse?
It says, the same was in the beginning with God.
The same was in the beginning with God. The same was in the beginning with God. Jesus was there in the beginning.
Amen.
With God.
Right.
And Jesus is God. And I want to say today here that nothing comes out of the Godhead without being God. God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit, they all three are one. They all three are one. Three in one. Praise God. Distinct personality. God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Ghost.
Praise
Amen.
Praise
all three in one. It's amazing how out of the Godhead comes God.
Yes.
God, you cannot be in the Godhead without being God. Amen. Praise God. So what is happening is that John is saying here that if we look at it very closely, he's saying that that in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God. See, and the Word was with God, and Jesus is the Word of God. This is a deity of the Lord Jesus Christ. He is God. So, and the Word was God, and the Word was with God. Isn't that powerful?
Yes, that's powerful.
Glory to God. And let's see if we can track him, how he came into this earth realm, because the scripture tells us that the Word was made flesh. Amen. In the 14th verse there. But we want to come on down. Instead of jumping down to the 14th verse, we want to follow that.
And all things were made by him, and without him was not anything made that was made.
All things that was made by him. See, he is Jesus is the God of creation. There's nothing made that was made that was not made by him that is made. Praise God. Hallelujah. I thank the Lord today that every one of us that have been called of him will preach his word, because the word of God will change the lives of each person that would receive him as Lord and Savior of their lives. He will change your life. You cannot change your life. Only the Lord Jesus Christ, who is the Word of the eternal God, he will change your life. If you ask him to come into your heart, he will change you. Many people today have faced a lot of situations without knowing who the Lord Jesus Christ is. But I want to tell you today, he is the God of creation. That's what it says there in Colossians 1 and verse 15 and thereafter there, that he's the God of creation. In John sees him, praise God, as the eternal God. And I tell you, when we look at what the Word of God says to us, we can glorify him and only him, praise God. Minister Gore, you know that our lives, and we were talking about this morning prior to coming to this radio station, that many people today, they are looking for something else other than the Word of God. What they are looking for is amazing how they face themselves to look at the stage that's set on television and all the other things. And when they go around, when the Lord leads them someplace, they look for that particular kind of stage, you know, that's been set up by man, instead of actually allowing the Holy Spirit, who is the third person of the Godhead, to lead them to a place and plug them in, and they remain there and receive the Word of God. Because when the Holy Spirit, the third person of the Godhead, leads you to a place, you should remain there and absorb or receive whatever that is being taught there, providing that it is the Word of God. You see, and the Holy Spirit will not lead you to a place that is not preaching or teaching the Word of God. Well, your flesh or your desires may do such, but the Holy Spirit won't do that, because he is the Spirit of truth. And when we look at what God's Word says to us, that's the whole idea of us. When I say us, I'm talking about people going to a fellowship to hear the truth of God's Word, so that their lives can be changed. You don't just go to a fellowship to meet people and to have some form of physical relationship. The whole idea is that we come together. If we're not born again, we receive the Word of God so that He could change our lives, so that we now move out of the arena of a social club and come into the body of Christ.
Amen.
Because a lot of places are just social clubs. People gather there, and what happens is that they look at what somebody else is wearing, they talk about all of the, you know, the other things which is not the Word of God. But it's a social club. Then they have some type of gathering in the sanctuary where they, you know, have, you know, start feasting on natural food and so forth. But the point is that Jesus Christ is the Word of God. And this is who we look to at all costs. We want to receive this Word in our hearts so that our lives can be changed. Now, look, I kind of like digress from this subject for a moment, but the whole idea is that He is the Word of God.
Amen.
I want my life changed. I'm not going to some fellowship just to say that I have done God a favor on Sunday and the rest of the week I live the way that I want to live. No, I need this relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ, who is the Word of God. I need Him in my life so that my life can be changed. I mean changed and fashioned after the goodness and the grace of Almighty God. Amen.
Amen.
Praise God. This is the whole idea. It's not just having church. And a lot of people are looking for just church. And to look for just church means that you have formulated in your mind that on Sunday you come and do God a favor, because that's the church that mom or dad or grandpa, whoever it is, we're fellowshipping there. But your life has to be changed. And the only one that can change your life is the Lord Jesus Christ.
Yes.
Praise God. And I tell you, He is the eternal Word of God. If you ask Him to come into your life, He will come in, praise God, providing that you are sincere. And I tell you, He knows who's sincere and who's not sincere. So, Minister Berry, we want to look a little further into this, because we want not just the Word, the Logos, but we want everything to come into visibility.
Yes.
Because you cannot see the Word.
No.
But you can see the expression of the Word in honesty and in truth. So we want to clothe this Word according to Scripture here. We want the Word to put on clothes so that it could be seen and walk this earth. And this is what Jesus was doing, because, you see, the Word is invisible. You know, when we speak words, you cannot see these words, but you can see the impact of the Word or words that we speak, you know? So here it is. Jesus is the Word of God. So when we ask Him to come into our lives, praise God, I have to stick with that for a moment. Coming into our lives, He's going to come in and He's going to change it. That's why Paul was saying that he was praying that Christ will be formed in you. Glory to God, that He would be formed in you. But He is the Word of God. So let's put some clothes on the Word. Amen.
Amen.
Glory to God.
Continue.
Yes.
In Him was life, and the life was the light of men.
In Him was life, and He was the light of men.
Yes.
So without Him, I could strongly say this without any type of contradiction, that people have life. Folks are walking around having life, but they don't have eternal life. You see, and it's amazing, praise God, that we make preparation for all kinds of things. We prepare ourselves for vacation. We make preparation for marriages. We make this preparation. And then we go and we buy natural life insurance. But the life that you need and the insurance that you need is eternal life. And that only comes through our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, because He is eternal life. So
hold on to what we're talking about, because it's simply a discussion. I'm not trying to preach here on the radio this morning. I just want to share with you that Jesus Christ, He is God. And many people today fail to understand that He is God. The Word tells us that from the outset, in the beginning there, that in the beginning was the Word. So we find out what and who the Word is, and we'll know that He's God. The Word. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. There aren't three gods. There's one God with three distinct personalities. Yes. And this is what we have to keep in mind. Because I had a gentleman one time to come tell me, he said, well, I wouldn't come to your church because you're serving three gods. I said, well, that is not accurate of what you're saying. We're not serving three gods. There's only one God.
Yes.
With three distinct personalities.
Yes.
Praise God. Hallelujah. And when you begin to see there's God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit, I like to look at this in terms of God is the executor. Jesus is the administrator. And the Holy Spirit is the one that carry out the activity in this earth realm.
Amen.
Praise God. He is the one. Because you can't get saved without the Holy Spirit. You can't get saved without the Holy Spirit. And the Holy Spirit is God. You remember we were talking about how people, and we're not trying to castigate anybody out there in Radio Land that have tuned in the broadcast. Just mere discussion here concerning like when nobody can come to God except He draws them. And you can go to church. You can become part of an organization. But the Word of God says that no man can come unto the Father except He that sent him draw him. So who did the Father send? He sent Jesus, and He will draw us. Praise God. Remember reading that, Minister Glory,
yes,
where He says here that that He'll draw?
Yes.
I think it's in St. John 12 and verse 32 where He talks about that Jesus said that if I be lifted up
from the earth,
I will
draw all men
unto
me.
So Jesus will draw you. The Spirit of the living God. Praise God. Out there in Radio Land. The Holy Spirit will do the work here in the earth realm. He will convict you of sin, righteousness, and judgment. Glory to God.
And also, Pastor.
Yes.
It says, Jesus says, I am the way, the truth, and the light. And no man.
Yes.
Coming to the Father but by Him, Jesus.
No man.
No man.
No woman. No mankind.
No man.
Can come unto the Father except what?
Through Jesus.
Through Jesus Christ. Praise God. Hallelujah. All right, let's just look at St. John a little more there, because we want to, for our time slip away from us, we want to clothe this word according to Scripture in the humanity. Praise God. I don't want to go to 14, but come on down.
Okay.
To,
and says, and the light shine in the darkness,
yes,
and the darkness comprehended not.
Praise God. Jesus is the light of the world. The world was full of darkness.
So. There was a man sent from God whose name was John the Baptist.
Yes.
The same came for witness, to bear witness of the light, that all men through him might believe. Mm-hmm. He was not that light, but was sent to bear witness of that light. That was the true light, which lighteth every man that cometh into the world. He was in the world, and the world was made by him, and the world knew him not.
It's amazing how he lighted every man that comes into the world.
Mm-hmm.
So the whole thing, he says, every man that comes into the world.
Mm-hmm.
So a mankind.
Mm-hmm.
So there's a void,
yes,
that's in all of us when we're born.
Yes.
There's an assignment, a divine assignment that's been given to us before we even come into this world. Then as we come, when we come into this world, what happens that at some appointed time, I don't know when it is, but at some appointed time, then the Holy Spirit moves on the person in terms of what their calling or what the assignment that's been given prior to them coming into this natural world. What it is, because every one of us has an assignment. Have an assignment when we come into this world. And a lot of times, people are trying to define it in all different kinds of places and things that they're doing. But God, with His infinite wisdom, has made a decision in your life before you ever came into this world. What was it said that Jeremiah said that well, God said, told Jeremiah that I knew you before you ever came in your mother's womb, and I ordained you. So there's an assignment that's going. I'm not saying that God will ordain you as a prophet. That's not what I'm saying. The point I'm trying to convey is that there's an assignment, and God created us so that we could please Him.
Yes. Amen.
So that we can serve Him. Praise God. Not ourselves, but serve Him. And what has happened? Because of our father and mother, the first lady and the father in the Garden of Eden, did something contrary to what God wanted. And what happened? Sin came into existence through Adam, but by one man, sin entered into the world, and now there's the problem. So people start running after the things of the world instead of forgetting about what happened there and said, I'm going to allow the Holy Spirit to guide and lead me.
Yes.
He's there. Praise God. You have something else you want to? Go ahead and read
that. You say he came unto his own, and his own received him not.
Well, he came. Well, you know what that means, that he came into Israel. Israel didn't receive him, you know. But then again, in the 12th verse there, he says here, but for as many as received him.
Right.
And that is very important there, for as many.
Mm-hmm.
He didn't say who. He just said for as many as received him, to them gave he power to become the sons of God, or children of God, even to them that believe on his name. See, we believe on the name of the Lord Jesus Christ through what was given to us through the apostles, praise God. They are the ones that's telling us about the Lord Jesus Christ, but it's done under the divine unction of the Holy Spirit. You know, I never seen Jesus.
Nope.
But what is happening is that we were told, we believe what the Word of God says, the one that God called and has given us this gospel, praise God. It is written, and this is the record that we've received. And they tell us that they were with Him. They handled Him. They touched Him. So we got to believe what the Word of God is saying here, praise God. I believe that Jesus is Lord. I believe that the Lord Jesus Christ is God. And I tell you, and no one can persuade me not to believe that, because I know in the beginning was the Word. Jesus is the Word of God. Hallelujah.
Praise God.
He's the Word that came forth, brought forth deliverance to us. Let's close them right now before we get.
Which was born not of blood, nor of the will of the flesh, nor of the will of man, but of God.
But of God. Isn't that one? The scriptures are very clear concerning what is being said. We don't have to try to unpack a lot of the scripture there. It's clear. We can't add to it or subtract from it. But I can tell you this much that have tuned into the broadcast, that the Lord Jesus Christ, He is the Word of God. He's the Word that was sent. Praise God. And I tell you that He is clothed in humanity. And how that took place was because the Spirit that came into Virgin Mary was the Spirit of the living God. And now He is 100% man and 100% God. You want to read that next verse?
And the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us.
How was the Word made flesh? The Word was made flesh through Mary when she received the Spirit of the living God, and then Jesus took on the humanity part, but He was still God. He did not have the DNA of Mary nor Joseph, but He is God. Praise the Lord. Matter of fact, Minister Gordon, go back to the preceding verse there. It says that it was done not by the will of man. No. The preceding verse.
Which was born not of blood, nor of the will of the flesh.
It's very, very clear there.
Mm-hmm.
It was not born what?
Not of blood.
Not of blood.
nor of the will of the flesh,
nor the will of the flesh,
nor of the will of man, but of God.
Of God. So that's how he is 100% God and 100% man, humanity. Praise God. In his humanity, 100% man, 100% God. And he never did anything as God in this earth realm here. He always operated in as the Son of Man. Praise God. And I tell you, that's why we look at the scriptures there, and it tells us that this word was made flesh.
Yes.
And it dwelt among us.
Mm-hmm.
And we beheld his glory, the glory of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth.
Praise God.
Praise God. When we receive Jesus as our Lord and Savior, praise God, we are receiving the truth. Yep. We are receiving God in our hearts, and your life will be changed.
Mm-hmm.
Isn't that amazing?
Very, and very.
Your life will be changed.
Mm-hmm.
Praise God. And we depend on the Lord Jesus Christ in everything.
Yes.
Because without him, we could do nothing.
Mm-hmm.
And we are nothing. So, Minister Glory,
The word
was made flesh.
Was made flesh and dwelt among us.
Yes.
Amen.
And we beheld, we looked at his glory.
Mm-hmm.
And it was the glory of the only begotten of the Father. That's very close there.
Yes.
Only begotten of the Father.
Full
and
of
he
grace.
Was full of grace and of
and
truth.
True.
Amen.
Amen.
I tell you, it's a wonderful thing here.
Yes, it is.
I asked you out there in Radio Land today, I don't know where you are. I don't even know who you are. But I will say this much. If you put your faith and trust in the Lord Jesus Christ, you will be able to receive eternal life. Glory to God. Eternal life. And eternal life only comes through our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Keep in mind that Jesus Christ, he is the Word of God. Before we close this broadcast, I don't want to leave anyone out there in Radio Land. If you don't know the Lord Jesus Christ, you can know him. Praise God.
Yes.
And Minister Glory, would you extend that invitation very quickly?
That if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, and shalt believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. And with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved by faith.
Praise God. And we all are children of God by faith in the Lord Jesus Christ.
Amen.
God bless you all out there in Radio Land. It's my prayer. And stay tuned until the next broadcast next week. Praise the Lord. God bless you.
You've been listening to the Salvation and Deliverance Outreach, brought to you by New Life Assembly of God Church, located at 774 North Apollo Boulevard in Melbourne. Their number is 321-255-6999. You also can write New Life Assembly of God Church at Post Office Box 2303, Melbourne, Florida, 32902. Be with us again at the same time next week for another program, Salvation and Deliverance Radio Outreach.